British number 11314, Reel 2.
Ready for Reel 2. What was the skipper's name?
Commander Hewitt. Hewitt.
So you were telling me about how skillful he was in dodging the bombs.
Dodging bombs, yeah. Very, very clever. Shall I tell you how he I see him do it? I was on B gun. I was able to see it from the ridge. He used to lay down on the bridge, dead amidships, and he used to wait until the planes was overhead, ready to dive, and he could see the bombs leave the plane, and he would either say port 20, hard or starboard, extra speed. It was absolutely amazing how he done it. But we know he saved the ship time and time and time again. I think we had 10 to 12 days at it. We're nearly running out of ammunition. We got recalled to re-ammo. We went to Greenock again to reload the ship, and I can remember now a little Skinner, old Jimmy Skinner. We got a matchbox. We said we ain't going to go back there again, surely. We didn't know, you don't know. And we was working the North Star where we was moving, trying to find out which way we was going. We found out we was going back
with a compass.
We had to make our own diagnosis with a matchbox. We had a match there and saying, well, there's the North Star, there's the so and so star, we're going there. So we're definitely going to Norway.
So you were frightened about going back?
Well, we weren't pleased to going back. As I say, we'd had quite a no sleep.
Was the ship hit by bombs?
Not there. I had near misses. I see one go right across the bows like that. When my deck, I was on B gun deck, and I swear and declared they only missed the guardrail like that. It was on angle. There, and as I say, our skipper, mate, he was marvellous. Anyway, what I was going to say was, we did go back. The ship that relieved us, HMS Bitten, she got sunk within 4 hours of us relieving us. She was another sister ship of the Auckland class. But what sunk her was Incendiaries. I don't know how many got killed or not, because as I say, we was on our way back to Scotland. But when we got back again into Alder's Nest, it started again. 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, when they'd come, then they'd give us a lull. Then our skipper used to be praying for snow showers, and we used to run under the cliffs, go out round and round and round, so they couldn't get. Anyway, we must have asked for assistance. We couldn't manage. And during the 2 hours of darkness, I can't pretend the night when it was name. The HMS Carlisle, that was a cruiser. She was a NACAT cruiser. She's coming to give us a hand. And while we were at the lull, the food, you've got no bread. He's on tack now, he's on tack. Food. And sure enough, the Carlisle come in, because it's about 7 miles coming down the field. And the old, when dawn broke, someone had a fishing line, trying to get some fish for something to eat. And I think he was a big pot. He was either an admiral or a rear admiral or a captain. He's an Ireland now fella anyway. And he said, I've been sent to help you, assist you. We haven't got no fishing rods. You know, I mean, taking the mickey. See? You're supposed to want help. What do you want for fishing? Words to that effect. If I told you we saved that ship time and time again, They couldn't see it. They were seeing it, and the planes trying to get it there, and we were defending that one more than defending our own. Or probably they were attacking them, not us, and we was putting them in. What's the name? And we went on for 8 hours, continuous firing. Now we'd stopped in that field all the time, 3 years, 3 weeks, and we hadn't. Never ventured out, never got out, because we had something waiting for us to get us when we got out. And anyway, come 6 or 7 o'clock at night, this signal, we are now proceeding to sea and you're to follow.
This is from the Carlisle?
Yeah. You're now to follow. And we turned around and said, what's the idea? We ain't going home. Anyway, he cleared lower deck. As we went by the Carlisle, they all cleared lower deck, the Carlisle there, and give us three cheers. He sent over an order, spice the main brace, that is a Nelson effort. If I told you three times to be spiced the main brace in that little place in Norway, and I think that was very, very good. Our skipper surprised it once. Anyway, I think the next night or the same night, I'm not sure, that they come to evacuate. This is where the troops come in. They had to evacuate in darkness, and they had destroyers, had big cruisers. They only had cruisers, they didn't have any merchant ships, and the squaddies was coming off, going on to the cruisers, filling them up, and what's the name here, and because it was getting, I told you, 2 o'clock is the deadline, he's got to be out of the way by 2 o'clock before Stuka comes down again. It's still there, they're still there at 2:30, 3 o'clock, and all of a sudden they go, and they left us behind 3 o'clock, 3:30, to pick up the wounded, the stretcher cases.
This is from Andal's Nest.
Yeah, it's from Andal's Nest. Right. In other words, I don't know if I'm saying right, but I'm saying this. In other words, we were spent force for them. They was getting out and leaving us, the wounded, to get home the best way we can on our own. And that's when, as I say, I got talking to the wounded squaddies, and they were I think it was West Kents, North Kents, they were reserves, they were, wasn't
territorials.
They were territorials, what we picked up. And they said, what chance did we? And that's why it changed my mind about Labour and Conservative, because I always remember Labour wanted disarm, 1933-34, and when I realised what he said to me, this bloke was wounded, he said, what chance did we have? He said, I got a 1918 rifle, he said, and the Jerry's, I got submachine guns, I got everything you wish for. We didn't have a nerve, we didn't have a chance. All we were with gun fodder. And we got away from that jetty, I should say, it was more or less 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock before we got away. We expected a raid. And we got outside the army, and there must have been a sub waiting for us. We dropped 5 depth charges because we weren't going to stop. We were just going to keep him down out of the way and get out of the way. But we had 6 explosions. We couldn't claim it, but we reckon we did. Because if we dropped 5 depth charges and you get 6 explosions, there must be one. Anyway, I don't know if the Eds claimed it or not. I don't know, but we can always remember it. And I can remember. We see ships in the distance, and our skipper said, well, we won't go that way, we'll go that way. It went the long way round home, and we got home. But as I say, but I'll tell you this, Everyone office got promoted. Even the gunnery officer, he got promoted for us. They told us to clear load that and said that we can't give you all medals, but we'll give you the gunnery officer medal because of the magnificent gunnery. That was it.
Did you shoot down any planes?
Yeah, Norway. We in that book there, it shows you that the people in Norway said there was crashing behind the scenes, but we killed one direct. And matter of fact, it was possible. We killed the four. The only youngsters they were. Our fellows went up. We could see it crash, and we went and got the identity disc and everything like that. We definitely killed one. Because I see it in my own arm. Because we was cheering that we got it, and the people in the TS, that's transmitting moon, thought we was being machine gunned. Instead of that, we was cheering because we got him. Now, as I say, we was christened. We was hard nuts then. And in the end, we'd say, how many planes are that all? As I say, that was just Norway.
So you felt pleased with your successes there?
There, yeah. Well, as I say, remember, I was just a youngster then. And as I say, I think we went convoying again. Auckland's finished. I think we done one trip with convoy. And then instead of going back to Greenock, we went the other way. We've come up... English Channel, and we stopped at Plymouth Hoe. What's the other big port there?
Devonport.
And then the buzz started.
What do you mean?
Rumours. We're going somewhere. We're going abroad. We're going here. We're going to Switzerland. All icy cold stuff's going. I'm going to Russia. We had to find out where we was going. Anyway, we clued up in the Mediterranean. It was lovely going up there because there was no war. The Italians wasn't at war then. Italians, we went through there. We went into six watches.
This is still in the Auckland.
Yeah. We went into six watches. We went to Gibraltar. From Gibraltar, we went to Malta. From Malta, we went to Alex. We went through the Suez, and then we went to Aden. It's in the Red Sea, and we stopped there for 11 months.
11 months in the Red Sea?
Yeah. It was the hottest place out. Anyway, we started convoying. High tide had declared war. We were convoying from Aden to Suez. We had one or two attacks, but the Italians attacked in Aden actually, but they did try and attack the convoys and going up to the Red Sea once or twice, but then it was a dull routine. We had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. It was dawn. You had to go out for action stations, and then you had, fell out at action stations, and then night time you had to you just when you're ready for bed, you know, get your head down, action stations again for an hour so that no one catches you by surprise. And one night, this is the gospel truth. Now, we used to have a little trawler one side, we was on the other side, another destroyer the other side, but there was a cruiser and two destroyers laying back way behind the convoy so that we was ready for anything that come along. The Italians hadn't attempted to come out. One night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, the old alarm bells rung. Well, that's unusual because we knew it couldn't be planes, and we've only spotted two cruisers and two destroyers going to attack the convoy, and we was on the nearest beam, And now Skipper, now I can see him now. Fire star shell, we did. Open fire. Well, I don't. You've never seen a round fired at night, nor die. Put it in, and the flash blinded you. It seemed like minutes, but it was only seconds, I suppose. And I could hear the skipping out. So, for God's sake, open fire! And we was all cramping round here trying to find where the bottoms were. And as I said, we got away. We did get a few rounds away, but it was enough to turn them cruisers. With it appears that the cruiser was on in economical speed, doing about 7 or 8 knots or something like that, and you have to fire the fire up before you can get going. But us firing as we did, as I say, we've got several rounds away, but it's enough for the ITIS to turn away from the convoy. And as I say, I know what happened there. I think Kimberly, she got hit. She got hit with shore batteries. They sunk one destroyer, but the cruiser got away because it got into they chased it into its nest, where we used to call it, you know, its harbour. But the Kimberly got brave and got too dear, and it was disabled. Shells went into the engine room, and the other ship had another ship had to come and tow her out of the way. Well, they were both being shelled like hell while they were getting away, but they did get away.
This is in the Red Sea.
Red Sea, yeah.
In 1941.
Yeah, 41.
How did the Italian air attacks in the Red Sea compare with the German air attacks off Norway?
Well, you'd never believe it. They was 40,000 feet up when they attacked, where the Jerry come low. Right? They was high precision bombing. You couldn't see them. They was like little stars. But that's the way they done it.
Were they accurate?
Well, pretty accurate. I can remember they catching us. They caught us by surprise one morning about 11 o'clock in the morning. All we knew was bombs coming down, and we didn't know where it was. We couldn't see them because we didn't have proper good gear. We didn't have ASICs and all that sort of thing them days. We had, when we first went out there, it was the lookout that spotted the planes, not the machines, and not ASICs. I mean, I can used to look. You don't say aircraft saying. I couldn't remember our skipper saying now. You shout out aircraft bearing so and so and so and so, and the old skipper used to shout out, "Very good, keep it good out." But it was us that spotted the planes, but you couldn't spot anything up 40,000 feet high, and that's what these ITIS used to do. They used to take the time to be what's the name, and drop the bomb. We did have in Suez, Port Suez. We was in there and we tied up alongside an oiler, I think. And he come over a squadron come over, but they weren't attacking us. They was attacking the port, and they killed a lot of squaddies, I think, there then all. And I can remember because we was tied up alongside a merchant packet, and us firing, it shook all the windows out, portholes out there. They ducked, I think, because they weren't used to it. But they made up afterwards. They come over, come and have a drink, come and have a drink. Drinks we never got before.
How did you cope with the hot weather in the Red Sea?
They used to give you lime, is it? Lime?
Lime juice.
Lime juice. That's to give you lime juice. It used to be icy cold, mind you. But you was only allowed one glass a day. But when you went ashore in Aden, there was private shops that had McEwen's beer, most McEwen's beer, icy cold. See? It's tons of swimming. But as I say, it was always hot, always boiling hot. We used to get sixpence a day, you know, for being in there. Red Sea.
Did you fear the Red Sea convoys like you feared going to Norway?
No. It was a Donald Red Sea convoy, a matter of routine.
A doddle?
Yeah, easy, so easy. In other words, you see, when you're four on and four off, we only ever got 4 days off a month. That was 2 days off a month, because it used to work in the other way. Boiler clean, you see, a ship has to have a boiler clean every month. And the only time that you got off was at 4 days, and then you wouldn't get off. You'd have 1 day's leave. I mean, say leave, you couldn't leave till 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock, and then come back at 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock at night. And the next watch would do the same the next night. You see, you only got 2 days off. You could go and have a swim or a cinema show. They used to have Tommy Shaft, I think it used to call it, open air cinemas. You'd have to book up for seats for that. That was your relaxation.
What did they call the open air cinemas?
Tommy Shaft, though, because he was an Egyptian or something. He had a monopoly all round, or what's his name? He was a
contractor?
Well, I suppose a Navy contractor for all the. He was getting money for. We have to pay, I put it that way. See? You had to pay to go in. But we used to have a film aboard ship when we could. When we was in harbour, we'd have a film on. And when another ship comes in with one film, we'd swap it over. I can always remember good films, you know, like Yankee Doodle Dandy and that sort of thing. But we only got it once every month. That's when we come into a harbour. We didn't get it while you were at sea, just when you was in harbour. And as I say, you used to get a film show once a month for the old Auckland.
Was the Auckland hit by enemy action in the Red Sea?
No. We've had some near misses, but we didn't get hit.
Did you bring any planes down there?
No. We shook them up, but we didn't. It's the same as the old Spitfires. You've got a probable, but you couldn't confirm it. I mean, we when we was doing in Suez, we opened up, and you see a big lot of spurt coming out, and then the smoke come out, but it went away. It might have got to base. You couldn't tell. See, but. As I say, we stuck that for 11 months, and then we got a call to go to Greece. Then we started again. Then we had another Norway. We was in the thick of it all the time.
Can you describe what happened at Greece?
Yes, when we got into Alex, we couldn't get in alongside. We had to tie up along ships, five or six destroyers tied up in one side, five of them. I've never seen so many warships in my life. Battleships that side. Anyway, it wasn't long before we got a convoy to go to Greece. Aussies, New Zealanders, we escorted them. Didn't get any trouble then. I don't think Jerry was on the scene then. We just had won the big victory in the desert. The first one.
Against the Italians.
Yeah, against the Italians. And we landed them at Piraeus, our lot. Come back and got some more. But when Jerry came on the scene, it was a different matter. I can remember going to Crete. We were starving. We had no spuds. Couldn't get no spuds. And we bought some off of Crete. In Crete, we went into it. There was a cruiser hit there.
Was this the York?
I got a feeling it was the York. The York. She was hit, and what they'd done was every time she. They got a fix to go out, so they come back and back to down again. But so we used to do a patrol there, stop them coming in, because it was a two man submarine that had sunk the York. It kept coming in, so we had to do a sweep there. But I can remember going up and getting these spuds.
This was at Suda Bay, was it?
Suda Bay, no. This is it could be Suda Bay. Yeah, Suda Bay. I was elected to go and get these seven bags of spuds to help us out. And it was only then I realised that the poor devils were starving. I remember I was only a youngster. I can remember now. I remember having a shilling army voucher. It was money, and going into a shed where they had drinks. And I put a shilling down. We all had five of us had a drink each, and I got more money back than I'd ever seen. All these coins, but I laughed at that. But when we got the lorry come down from the mountains with these seven bags of spuds, one bag was split open, and it was about 14 or 20 spuds loose on the deck. Well, being conscientious, I went to pick them up, and I could see the driver going, no. And I did, I left them there, and I said, well, I'm asking. They're selling us spuds, and they want them to blooming self. And I always remember that, I think. Anyway, we started in earnest. We was taking convoys, fetching convoys back. Then we had... Now, what's the name of that? A tanker. I forget the name of the tanker now. It got a near miss near Suda Bay, just outside of Suda Bay, or further away, because halfway between Suda Bay and Alex. It was more near Greece than it was Alex. And we got the job. The crew had abandoned the ship, and we got the job because Jerry was coming over thick and fast and thick, because he'd occupied all the islands now around there, instead of his own for the Stuka. And we got the job of towing her back to Alex. Well, that was a suicide mission anyway. But as I say, what they'd done, they'd left the portholes open, water was coming through there, she was well lifted, like. But we put half the crew aboard her and half the crew, and we own half, so we were there night and day sleeping, no sleep. And we got away, we got within, 24 hours of, maybe nearer than that, to Alex. And we was thinking the amount of money we were going to get. We've salvaged the oiler, and we're entitled to so much money. And there's only 190 aboard us. Well, when we got within 12 or 14 hours of Alex, HMS Protector, that was a mine layer, evidently no work for her, she come out and took it off us. And we was we had to go straight back to Suda Bay.
So you got nothing.
After the war, I think we got £7.10, I think it was, but I suppose that was something, you know, because all the officers had their whack and what with POs all having now more money than us.